Luke chapter 8, please. Can we just turn over the other account of the same incident that we're reading earlier on? I will read a few verses in Luke chapter 8 just to get Luke's account of the same incident. Luke chapter 8 and verse 26. Luke chapter 8, verse 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land there, met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God most high? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go into the deep. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. And then went the devils out of the man, and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake, and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled, and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus, and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means it was that the possessed of devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to again the reading of his word. Let's unite in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we come to thee now in our Saviour's name, and we thank thee for the opening of thy word. We thank thee that thy word is truth, and we rejoice in the word of God to our hearts. And we'd ask that thou wouldst come in mighty blessing amongst us, and that we might know thy presence and know thy blessing in a special way. We need thee, our God, and we just ask thee that thou wouldst come in power into the midst, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. The subject of demon possession or demons is not one that we often think about today, particularly in this 21st century in which we live. Bible-believing Christians, we accept, of course, the fact that there was demon possession in the days of the New Testament, but we tend to relegate demonic activity maybe to pagan lands or to missionary experience in this day, but we shouldn't do that, really. There are two common ways that God's people tend to look at demonic activity today. We can go to one extreme or the other, and we should stay in the middle. There are those that discount demonic activity, and we sort of, maybe we don't discount it, but we sort of live as if there was no such thing. We tend to think that it's something for the past or something for the New Testament, but it is something that doesn't happen today. On the other hand, there are those, particularly of the charismatic type of people, who will see demons round every corner and in every situation, and they talk about territorial demons and so on and so forth. And the devil is delighted with any one of those extremes. If we ignore him, he's delighted, or if we are overly taken up with him and our minds are filled with what he does, then he's delighted with that as well. But I want you to see the reality of demonic activity. Look at what it says in verse 27 of Luke chapter 8. It says, And when he went forth, that's the Lord, to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. So here's a man who was uncontrollable because of the demonic activity in his heart. And you look at what it says in Mark chapter 5 and verse 3, that no man could bind him No, not with chains. And he obviously has some kind of very great strength that's able to break through the bonds and the chains that he is bound with. And we read that he cuts himself. So the demons are trying to destroy the man. They're really trying to kill the man. And of course, demons have no real sympathy with anyone. That's their desire to destroy. And it is that destroying activity that they're upon. But I want you to think of the power of the Saviour here, because we notice the power of the Saviour demonstrated over demonic activity here. You can see the different ways that the Lord is the Lord over death, because he heals the little girl at the end of the chapter. He is the Lord over disease, because you have the woman with the issue of blood there. And here he is the Lord over death. And he's not only the Lord over death, but you'll see the transforming experience that he brings, or the Lord over demons, but you'll see the transforming experience that he brings to this man, because you'll see that this man is obviously in great distress. You'll see him crying and cutting himself amongst the tombs. This man has no peace of mind. This man is in an awful turmoil. As far as his psychology is concerned, as far as his peace of mind is concerned, this man is in utter turmoil. Now, that's ultimately what the devil does, and that's what sin does. It leaves us in utter turmoil. There's no, you know, the Bible says, the Lord said, "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." And that is so very true. And you can see it depending on the lengths to which sin has taken a person, or the binding power of Satan, or the binding power of sin. The more sin has control of a life, the less peace they have. And maybe tonight there's someone in this meeting, and you can recognize the fact that maybe there's a lack of peace in your heart. Maybe as you have come here tonight, there is that turmoil. There is that unease that's in your heart. Now, Christians can have turmoil at times. There are things that come into every one of our lives that can turn our lives upside down. But this is a deep-seated unease. This is a guilt that is there. Well, I want you to see tonight that the Lord is the one who is able to take away that turmoil and is able to give peace and able to give blessing in the midst of the turmoil. And we can see that that's the reason why this story is here, and you can see the way that the stories are placed here. He is Lord of death, he's Lord of disease, he's Lord of demons, and you can see that there is a deliberate way in which these things are placed in the Bible. There is an agenda that is here that is being shown to us, and I want you to come to that blessed Lord, the one who is Prince of Peace, the one who is Prince over the death and disease and demons, and thank God today you can find peace in him. And I want us to look at this story of the demoniac here for a few minutes, and I want us to see this man, and there are a number of things about him here that I want you to see in the story in Mark 5 and in Luke chapter 8. Now, first of all, I want you to see the plight of the man. I want you to see that perhaps here's a spiritual portrait of you, and maybe a spiritual portrait of those in this meeting who are outside of Christ. He is unclean. He is a man who has impurity in his heart, and there is something that has taken hold of him, and that is sin and the consequences of sin. And maybe as you sit in this meeting tonight, you can recognize your uncleanness. Maybe that is a temper. Maybe it is that is benighting you. Maybe it's pride that is benighting you. Maybe it's selfishness. Maybe it's thoughtlessness, unkindness. Maybe it's a critical spirit. Maybe it is the gossip of a slanderous tongue. Maybe it's some of those things that is benighting you tonight. And as you come into this meeting, there are things that you know about yourself, and maybe others know about you as well, and certainly the Lord knows about you. And there are things that are binding you. And I want you to see that this man was bound by these things. Look at what it says in verse 4. It says, because that he had been often bound with fetters, and this is Mark chapter 5, because that he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. He was caught in this position. He was driven to this. And maybe, again, I'm speaking to you tonight, and there are those impulses that drive you. There are things that you can't escape from, and they bound you. Sometimes it may be drink or it may be drugs. These are some of the obvious things. But maybe it's some kind of lifestyle that you have. And there's something in that lifestyle that has bound you. And there is vice in your lifestyle. Maybe it is just the feeding of the flesh and the feeding of the things of the flesh. But every day there is that wedge that is driven in between you and God, because sin separates between us and God. And those wedges have become deeper and deeper and deeper as time has gone on. And every day the torment grows and the peace dissipates, and you're deeper and deeper into that pit of isolation and wretchedness and entrapment. Am I describing you tonight? Am I describing you in this meeting? And this man is described as being bound. And indeed, he has that evil spirit that he cannot curb. And it's some kind of besetting sin here that has grieved him. And I want you to ask yourself, is there something in your life and it has bound you? And maybe you're growing worse as time goes on. It's spoiling your life. It's hampering your reputation. It's ruining your experience. It is causing that wedge between you and God. And maybe tonight that there have been times and you've thought, I'll be strong enough to break this. I will deal with this. But you haven't broken it, because you're doing it in your own strength. And you can't break it in your own strength. Here's a man who was hopeless and helpless. And until he came to the place where he realized that he was hopeless and helpless, there was nothing that could be done for him. And I want you to see, we're in the ward of incurables here in this chapter in many ways. You'll go into the men's ward and we meet this man Legion here. And he's a man who is possessed of this awful demonic activity. But later on we go into the women's ward and we see the woman with the issue of blood and how the Lord takes her. And we read that she was nothing bettered because of the physicians, but rather good root worse. And here's a woman who had tried to help herself, and instead of helping herself, all that had happened was that she grew worse. And then we go into the children's ward, and we meet the woman, or the little girl at the end of the chapter, and she is again beyond help. And of course, they were wailing for her there, but there was nothing that could be done for that little girl. And you can see, we come into the men's ward now, and we see this man, and he had been bound with chains, and people had tried to help him, and indeed they had come to the point where they could do nothing but put him outside society, and all that had happened was he broke the chains and came back in again, and there was nothing that could be done for them. You can see that this chapter is the incurable ward of the Bible. There was nothing that could be done for them. But I want you to see the words there. He saw Jesus. That's the transformation. That's when things are made different. When he saw Jesus, when he met the Lord Jesus Christ, that's when these things were going to be dealt with. And every one of them in the chapter meets the Lord Jesus Christ. Disease meets Christ. Death meets Christ. Demons meet Christ. And when Christ is met, he is the one who is able to deliver them from the deepest situation. Right from death itself, he's able to lift those that are dead, and he's certainly able to lift those that are dead in trespasses and in sin. And I want you to see, here's a man that was bound in his sin, unable to... He himself could break free, but he couldn't break free of the bounds or the bonds of the devil. He could get out of the physical chains, but he couldn't get free of the chains. of the demons. Well, here, you and I couldn't break free of the physical chains. We couldn't get out of that. We would be unable to do that. But this man is so strong. He has a strength about him that is an unnatural strength. But even this man with this unnatural strength can't break free of the demons. And neither can you. You can't break free of the chains that the devil puts upon you in and of yourself. But he saw Jesus. He saw Jesus, and that's the one that we want you to see tonight. We direct you to him. We want you to look up to him and to see the one who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. So this man is bound, and he's also battered. Look at what it says in verse 5 of Mark chapter 5. It says, "And always night and day was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones." Of course, the demons were causing him to do that. And as we say, they were trying to destroy the man. He was battered. Oh, he wasn't living a happy life. There's no happiness in the things of sin. This man was battered. And then he was bewailing because it says that he cried night and day. You know, the Bible says that happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Those who are Christ have that happiness, they have the peace of God which passeth all understanding, and they're able to rejoice in Christ no matter what the situation may be. But here's a man who is crying. He wasn't happy, he was very far from happy. Are you the same in this meeting? And your sin and the binding of Satan has left you in a place where that happiness and that peace has been taken from you. And I want you to see the plight of the man. But then I want you to see something else. Look at the power of God. Because as we say, God reached in. The Lord reached in. And what a wonderful thing it was that the Lord did for this man. He delivered him from the demons. And I want you to see that the change was divine. The healing was one that no man could do, as we have said. But one word from the Lord Jesus, and he commanded those demons to get out of the man. All the Lord had to do was speak a word, and those demons had to obey the Lordship of Christ. And he was forever changed in a moment of time, and radically changed. He was absolutely changed. Here he was, and he had been in turmoil, cutting himself, trying to kill himself, and he was in an awful state. But suddenly, he's sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Now, only the Lord can do that. Only the Lord can do that. Christmas Evans, you know, the Welsh preacher Christmas Evans, he preached a mighty sermon on this portion of Scripture, and he gave the picture of this man Legion coming home, and he often broke his chains, and the Bible speaks about how he was often bound with chains. So there must have been times when he had come home in the meantime. And he says, Christmas Evans sort of pictures his wife and his children, and he spoke about one of the children looking out through the window and seeing their daddy coming down the road, and filled with fear, because every time daddy came home in the past, it had been an awful situation, and he had come in his madness, and he had created havoc in the home, and it had been a dreadful experience to have a father. But he says one day the child is looking out and his daddy is coming down the road. And he says to his mother, "Mother, the daddy is coming home. But there's something different about him. There's not that madness about him. There is not that gait about him. He seems to be different." And mother goes out to see him. And he knocks on the door and his wife lets him in. And he looks at her and he says her name. And he hadn't spoken to her like that for years. Christmas Evans said, "I wonder tonight how you speak to your wife." Well, perhaps you speak differently when Christ brings that peace into your heart. But here's a man who is altogether different. You think of the havoc in his home, the havoc amongst his children, the havoc that there was with his wife, but now he's a new creature because of what Christ had done. There's a divine change. But also it's a dramatic change. You see how this dramatic thing happened, not only is there a dramatic change in him, but you think about the swine, and you think about these 2,000 swine, and how the devils come out of the out of the man, and they go into the swine, and they run down into the sea and are drowned. And that creates a stir. There's a drama here. And the people see what has happened to, not only to the man, but they see what has happened to the swine. And hell has been robbed of another victim, and death has been cheated, and the Satan has lost the battle. And what a dramatic thing when the devil loses the battle and another soul comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. A swine may not have to die if you come tonight, but thank God there can be that dramatic change. There will be no less a dramatic change in your life if you come to Christ. But look at the dramatic way the man was changed. Night and day, the Bible says, he was in the tombs cutting himself. But now we see that he's sitting and clothed and in his right mind. What a change. What a dramatic difference is made in the life of this man. Thank God, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It was a dramatic change. Not only was it a divine change and a dramatic change, it was a definite change. Because the people knew that something had happened in this man's life. The people came out of the city, and all they had to do was look at this man Legion, this uncontrollable demoniac. And there he is. And they can see the difference in his life. You know, salvation is something real. It is something that makes a tangible difference. This man had been naked when he had been under the control of the demon. Now he's clothed. Before, he had been restless. He couldn't sit down. And he was pacing about here and there. Now he's sitting. And the Bible says that he's in his right mind. God has made a definite change. And thank God for the definite change that is wrought in Christ. And I want you to come tonight and find that definite and dramatic change and that divine change that is brought about by the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see the plight of the man, we see the power of God and the power of the Lord in delivering the man. But then I want you to see something else here. I want you to see the pinnacle of folly. Because here were these people now, and they see the dramatic events that take place, the people of the city I'm talking about now, because we read how that some of those that were feeding the swine saw what had taken place, and they go into the city, and they recount what has taken place, and the people of the city come out, and they beseech the Lord to depart from them. Now, that is the height of folly. Now, you can think of what has happened this man. They come out, and what do they see? They see the man cured. They see the man healed. They see that he's saved, that he's changed, that he's sitting and clothed in his right mind, and that he's no danger to the people anymore. And God has wrought a mighty miracle in the heart of this man. And I want you to see what they saw first. Look at verse 16. It says, "And they saw, and they that saw it, told them how it befell to him that was possessed of the devil, and also concerning the swine." So there were those that saw what had taken place. They were eyewitnesses of the delivering power of Christ. But not only do we want to see what they saw, but I want you to see what they sought. It says, when they saw this, it says they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. So they saw the swine, they certainly did. They saw that their livelihood was gone. But on the other hand, there's a soul that's saved. On the other hand, here's a life that has changed. On the other hand, here's a family that's transformed. But these people, it says, when they saw what was done, they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. So they wanted to get rid of the Lord. They wanted him to go. They had this mighty privilege of having the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords in their midst, this healer, this transformer, the one of whom it is said that never man spake like this man. And he came through their village, and he came into their area, and he came into their ambit, as it were. And yet here they were, even realizing his power and his delivering power and his healing power. They say, no, we want you to go. We want you to go. And you know, we think of those, you would think that they would have welcomed the Lord and they would have embraced the Lord. But no, they say, we want you to go. And there are those who are faced with the power of God and the healing power and the dramatic change that is wrought in lives by the power of God. And all it does, it seems to do to them, is say, cause them to say, no, I want you to go. Go from this place. Go from me. Maybe you haven't said that out loud, but yet that is the tenor of what you are doing, even maybe tonight. Remember what the Lord asked the people one time, or asked the man at the pool of Siloam, wilt thou be made whole? And we may think that's a silly question, but it is a question that needs to be asked for so many people. If you ask them, do you want to go to heaven? Oh, yes, I want to go to heaven. If you ask them, are you a Christian? Oh, yes, I'm a Christian. But have you ever come and repented of your sins and taken the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? And the answer to that is no. You've never come. You've never sought the Lord, never called upon God for salvation. And dear friend, if you've never called, then you're like these people who besought the Lord to go out of their coasts. Because I want you to see, not only did they see something, they saw the miracles of God, and not only did they seek something, they sought for the Lord to depart out of their coast, but I want you to see this, they succeeded. Because the Lord did depart out of their coast. The Lord didn't stay where he wasn't wanted. The Lord's not going to stay with you if he's not wanted. He's not going to pressurize, he's not going to force salvation upon you. You know, you have people who speak about Christians and they're witnessing that they're forcing something down their throat, as if we could do that, as if we could force salvation down your throat. We can't do that. Neither does the Lord want to do that. Because, dear friend, the Lord wants you to come willingly. Come willingly. And I would be very careful tonight. If there's any sense of a prayer in your heart for the Lord to depart from you, maybe the Lord has been dealing with you and maybe has dealt with you in times gone by. It's a very dangerous thing for to pray that the Lord would depart from you, because the Lord can take you at your word. So we notice the pinnacle of folly here. These people began to depart, or cause the Lord, or ask the Lord to depart out of their coast. But then I want you to see something else. Look at the privilege of conquest. Because there's one more thing here that I want you to see. And here's the divine Lord, and he's conquered this man, and he saved his life. But I want you to see that the man now, not only is saved, and not only is sitting and clothed in his right mind, but he enters further into the blessing of salvation. And the man that has saved him, he wants to be with him. He wants to be with the Lord. And that's the mark of every true child of God. We'll want to be with the Lord. We want to walk with him. Look at verse 18. This is the request of the man to the Lord. He says, and when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed the Lord, that he might be with him. And you know, from a human point of view, there's nothing that displays our love as much as the wanting to be with someone or be in their presence. And we thank God that we can be in the presence of the Savior. And his worship is precious to us. And the songs that we sing are precious to us. And we lift up our hearts in praise and adoration to him. And that ought to be precious to every child of God. I wonder, do you have a desire in your heart to be with Christ? Do you want his presence day by day? Do you want to know his blessing upon your life every step of the way? The desire of the man. But look at the directive of the master. Look at the Lord's reply in verse 19. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. What does the Lord want his people to do? You know, Paul was in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to be with Christ, and which is far better, to be in the immediate presence of the Lord. And that's something that the child of God looks forward to. But you know, the Lord has a purpose for us. And he wants us to go home to our friends and tell them the great things that the Lord has done for us. What is the job of the Christian? What has God delivered us from the bondage of Satan for? That we might go home to our friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for us. And the man said to the Lord, I want to be with you. He besought him that he might be with him. And really what the Lord was saying was, not yet. Not yet. Just go home to your friends. Return unto thy house, it says in Luke chapter 8. Return unto thine own house and show how great things God hath done for thee. And we think of that little phrase in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 4, left out of context a little bit, but it says, learn first to show piety at home. Where do we start in a Christian life? We start at home. Where do we start in our walk with God and showing our obedience to God? At home. Are we working for the Lord at home? Learn first to show piety at home. Tell how great things the Lord hath done for thee. Have we been telling others about Christ? Has there been that mark of deliverance about us that we're telling others of the great things? The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I wonder tonight, are you bound? Bound by sin? Bound by Satan? Bound by the sins of this life? I'm glad tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who can set the prisoner free. He can set you free tonight. He can bring you to himself, and he can deliver you by his grace and by his power. Will you come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? And if you're saved tonight, then go home and tell your friends, your loved ones, the great things that the Lord has done for thee. Let's just unite, please, in a word of prayer.